Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Impact Factor. I am your host, Katie Van Aken, and this week features a conversation with someone who I just met, who reached out and has a great story, and I'm excited for you to hear it. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Parth Desai, soon to be PhD. So Parth, it's nice to meet you. Let's go back, you know, a little bit before your PhD. At what point did you decide you wanted to get a PhD? Let's start there.
Yes, sure. So thank you for this question. So basically when I was doing my master's in India, and you know, it was 5 years. Bachelor's and master's integrated program in cell and molecular biology. I was exposed to the research environment in a very elite institutions in India like TIFR, IISER, IISC. So those elite institutions, that environment was very unique. There was some energy and curiosity into that environment about science. People who had great postdoc experience in the United States, they came back to India to start their own lab as assistant professor. I got to hear a lot from them, how the US research is and what are the different opportunities available in the United States. And while doing a research, I found myself that I got interested in learning more about science, but also I can help society with the science. I got to know that, okay, there are different stages. You can be a bachelor in biology, you can do master's, but PhD will help you to become an independent researcher or a scientist that will give you all the freedom to do a research. And I think that was the turning point in my life that I decided to do a research and get a PhD so that I can think of my own ideas. I can implement those ideas independently or in a collaboration. And that was, I guess, the very first point in 2014 when I got my very first research internship and I was working with Drosophila.
Oh, and, cool.
Yeah, and I learned very well. I was complimented by a lot of other folks in the lab that, you know, you are very adaptive, a quick learner. Anyone, you pick up the things quickly than others. And that time I completed my second year of my bachelor's. And I felt that, yes, I think I got my, you know, very first step into the ladder, and I decided to do PhD, and not only in India, but I decided to come to the United States as well.
Oh, cool. So your master's is when you first, you know, were sort of asked to do research, which that makes sense, right? Because you had to do master's thesis for your degree.
Correct. But this course in my university named Maharaja Sayajirao University of Baroda. Baroda is a city and Gujarat is a state in India. And this course was very unique. That gives you an opportunity to do summer internship from the bachelor's itself.
Kind of like in the US, we have research experience for undergrad programs, which you know, even if you're at a very small school, you can have a summer internship at a large research institution, which is often a very good experience.
Yes, and I was fortunate to had that experience in the beginning of my bachelor's.
Nice. And you were sort of caught by the research bug, if you will, but not necessarily that you, not just the side of learning more about science, but the fact that when you got to the research level, you could discover new things, create new things, and, you know, really positively impact the world, you know, at some level, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Very cool. And you mentioned biology. So was that, was there any sort of focus of biology for you up until your PhD? And then we'll get to that.
Yes. So like biology was because of the curiosity that I was carrying in my heart, that how the nails are growing automatically, you know, mm-hmm. you don't feed them. So that was a simple curiosity for me, like to understand like why our nails are growing every few weeks and we need to cut them and again they grow. Then some of the other, like we did study about cell division and organ and, you know, making a development of human body, but never thought about having genes that take the decision and make proteins without any brain. We have a brain in our body, which is like itself a whole organ system separately. But the brain gives command to the organs and they work. But nobody gives command to the genes. But how do they work? That was the question. And I was trying to find the answer. And I dig, you know, I took a deep dive into the biology. And being in the course of molecular and cell biology, I was exposed to different molecular biology, in-depth immunology, cell biology, disease pathways, and what's or not. Like, I think I took so many subjects, and it was very rigorous training and knowledge theoretically that it fascinated me the most. And coming back to the point of how I started doing my research in PhD, actually back in 2014, I had one advisor with whom I always interact most of the time. And he said, like, Parth, what you want to do? And he just came back from the United States and he was teaching us. And I said, like, I don't know, but I know that I love challenges and I love solving mysteries. At that time, I knew that. He said, okay, what type of challenge you want? I said, I don't know, but something that helps a society with the help of science, but something that triggers my imagination and creativity as well, like a problem solving. And he said, have you heard of cancer? And I said, yes, I heard about the cancer. He said, what cancer? You know, like, what are the different types? I said, nothing.
Yeah.
So he gave me a task to read about cancer and get back. And that's how our conversation went back and forth. In the bottom line, he gave me a task like, can you think of something about pancreatic cancer? Because it's very challenging nowadays and it has a higher mortality and least survival rate in 2014 also. And I started reading more about pancreatic cancer, pathways are involved in it, even if I was just in second year. And I started figuring out, like, what are the labs working on cancer? But no one was working on pancreatic cancer. But I tried to get into the lab. They were working on cancer. But I never got an opportunity in summer internship. So what I did is, along the way of my different summer internships, I took the opportunity that was coming to my way without being so specific about cancer. I never say no to any of the opportunity. And I think that helped me a lot, developing those scientific techniques, learning about different techniques and areas in the science and molecular biological techniques. That helped me always thinking and moving forward. But back of the mind, I knew that how I can use these techniques to study the cancer. And I chase labs to do the cancer research till my PhD.
Okay. Did so I that's how you decided... That's how you decided where to apply.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I knew that I want to get into the cancer research lab from the beginning, but I never got a chance till I get into the PhD in 2020.
So tell me about that. So where did you end up and what were you working on?
So like in that 6 years of span, I was reading about cancers. I was chasing like what drugs are coming, what are the molecular mechanism of this drug, and how they got digested into the body and how they are excreted and what are the side effects and everything. In 2020, finally, 2019, when I was applying for a PhD in the last year of my master's thesis. By the way, I have two masters, one from India and one in the US. So in the US, I was fortunate to have an advisor. He said, like, Path, what you want to do? And I said, like, translational research and specifically cancer research. And I think this is the last chance that I can get into the cancer lab. After that, I don't know if maybe I need to go for a postdoc to do the cancer research. But my department, which is Joint School of Nanoscience and Nanoengineering at University of North Carolina, has really helped me to get to the lab. And everyone came and said that, okay, you might go to this professor and talk about it. And I went to the professor and I talk about my interest in his lab because he was working on cancer immunotherapy using immune cells on breast cancer. And then he said, okay, I'll accept you in my lab. And that's how I started my journey.
Wow. So you were already going to UNC for your master's. So you were a little bit
Yes.
exposed to, or you had the, let's say, channels to talk to other professors who were doing the research that you were interested in.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's, I mean, right there is a lesson of how it's important to follow your passion, right? Because there are plenty of students probably that could benefit from just really sharing how interested they are in a topic, you know?
Yes,
Nice.
absolutely. Yeah, every time people might ask me what you want to do next, you know, in my master's last semester, and I always say, I came to the United States to earn a PhD degree. From India, it was difficult to directly get into the PhD, so I took a master's pathway. But it added gave me an advantage of learning about bacterial genetic engineering. And I learned more about what if bacterial genetic engineering can happen, what about the humans? And that time the CRISPR was the hot topic. And that's how I learned about CRISPR and everything. And then again, back of the mind, how I can apply this to the cancer research. And yeah, I mean, I always talk about my ultimate goal is to cure cancer or eradicate cancer and helping the society improve the quality of life of patients.
Very cool. Okay, so you convinced this professor to have to let to accept you into his lab. Him? Her? Him?
Him.
Yeah. So tell me about your group or your research group. What was that like? How big was it? And yeah.
So the funny thing is, when I got into the lab, there were only three seniors, and I was the youngest one in that lab.
Okay.
Working in that lab for 1.5 year, till the end of 2021, something happened, unfortunate stuff in administration, and my professor quit.
Okay.
Then again, question for me, because other students allowed to graduate, and
So
I left
you're the
alone.
youngest. Yeah.
Yes, just like a kid. And then I was not worried, but yeah, something was going. And thanks to the departmental support, that called me, my dean called me, the department chair called me and said, like, Path, what are you gonna do next? And I said, what do you like? I'm gonna finish my PhD, that's what I know. And said, like, but do you have any specific professor in your mind that you would like to go with? Or do you want us to help you in other ways? So that support was really helpful. That boost my confidence again. And I said, like, okay, let me go and talk to different professors. And I again started hunting for cancer. And I always put my point, like, they said, like, what do you want to do? I said, like, cancer research. And they said, like, well, in my lab, you can do that, but there is another aspect of this. I said, okay. But I talked to a few professors, but one of them, and now she is my advisor, Dr. Kristen Dellinger. And she helped me that, okay, Parth, what do you want to do? I said, cancer research, but I have different ideas in my mind that I want to apply now. She said, okay, cool, no problem. I said, like, but will you accept me in your lab? And she said, yes. So thank God that I get into her lab within like 2 to 3 weeks of my advisor left the university. And I again started my writing a research proposal for PhD defense, like a you can call like a proposal defense for a PhD candidacy. And yeah, right now my research group is all about nanotechnology driven solutions. Like a lot of other folks are fabricating biosensors. We are isolating exosomes from human cells or serum, different aspects. Most of the people are working on diagnosis aspect of exosome or disease markers. I am the only person right now who is working on cancer immunotherapy using exosomes. So I am trying to, you know, open the avenue for immune cells and how we can leverage this tiny nanoparticle-like structure, which are called exosomes, which are excreted outside of the cell in any condition, and how we can leverage them to combat the cancer, because they are the highly biocompatible small particles.
Interesting. And is this applicable to multiple types of cancer, or did you find yourself working again on breast cancer or pancreatic cancer?
Oh yeah, pancreatic cancer was still difficult to work with. So I keep working on breast cancer because I wanted to make a link in my thesis that how I can make a nice story about working on a breast cancer with different agents. So I'm still working on breast cancer, but having these exosomes in a different aspect. Coming back to the question, that is for all type. And my advisor asked me the same question, and I said, no, it is only for the solid tumors. Because if you talk about the multiple myeloma or blood cancer, people have found a very good cure in the form of CAR T cells, which is very famous nowadays.
Okay.
But solid tumor, to combat with the solid tumors, is still a challenge.
Yeah. Fascinating. Very cool. So you are currently completing your PhD? You haven't defended yet?
No, I will be defending in spring.
In the spring semester. Okay. Coming up, huh? Do you know what's next? I sound like one of your professors. What's next, Parth?
Yes. So the next step will be, coming to the US, seeing a lot of opportunity, meeting a lot of people, has really transformed myself into a leader. So I want to transform the world with the help of science. I want to bring better solutions for the ongoing problems in healthcare sector. I want to put myself in a great environment where people are working towards a goal of eradicating cancer. I want to help people achieve their goals. I want to help others because I think as a leader. And I want to give a vision to others. I want to bring some innovations in the cancer therapeutics. I will start definitely as a scientist. That is my very next step.
Doing more research.
But in pharmaceutical industry.
Okay, cool.
Not in academia, so, yes.
More applied research and...
More applied research.
Yeah, cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I think your area is certainly needed. and certainly can be applied as it affects many people. So that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Are you planning to stay in the US?
Oh, that's a great question. When I came into the US, Yes, I was determined to stay here because the real thing is here there is a ample opportunity for the researchers. And I felt that US is a great country in terms of opportunities. And I was always a hardworking person. And I have seen others succeeding coming to the US. But I personally want to stay because of family. Also, some of my family members are across the US. We are scattered a little bit here and there. But
Oh,
yes,
nice.
they are here. So I have seen family members coming to the US from India. So I came as well. And I decided to stay here for one reason is definitely I want to impact the society in a positive way. And the second is the family.
Nice. Well, we're lucky to have you.
Thank you.
In addition to doing research and everything, are you involved in anything outside of kind of your research group at UNC? Are you, in any societies, organizations, anything like that?
So, yes, what I do outside of my research is I always seek volunteer opportunities across the university or the Greensboro area. I'm always ready to invest my time in self-development, and I volunteer for activities like STEM outreach programs, where I go outside to middle school students, high school students, and make them curious about the research as a scientist and communicate with them. I also was volunteering for called Impacts Program in North Carolina. The Impacts Program is for the STEM students who want to communicate about their research, and also you need to go outreach to high school. You will be placed by the program, and you will go and communicate about science so that way in middle school students can decide what is science is all about, and they get curious about becoming a scientist.
And then they want to pursue science further. Yeah,
Correct.
cool.
Yeah, to encouraging them.
Yeah.
Yes. Then I always try to participate in science communication, networking events where there are different STEM professionals. This has helped me to being proactive and developing some leadership skills. So outside of my research lab, I always invest time here and there talking to different people, learning about them, and making an impact in the society.
Yeah. Excuse me. One of my favorite things was always doing outreach with kids. It's kind of fun to kind of, well, one, it's fun to talk about less complicated science for a little bit of time and also share the fun, part of science that got you where you are today. Things that I remember thinking were cool when I was in middle school, are probably the reason why I continue to study it. So that's good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it helped me to, communicating my science in a very simple language that anyone can understand. Age cannot be the boundary to communicate about my science. And the good thing with the professor that I started my PhD, he always emphasized on, tell me why your research is so helpful for the society. And he always trigger my creativity or the imagination, like how I do the research in a useful way that a farmer who is paying taxes to the government will understand the research that I am doing is going to him or somebody else like him and helping them. So that professor did a great job in always pushing me to think about the real life solutions.
And you learned early on the importance of communicating to everybody, which is such a valuable
Yes.
skill.
Yes.
What about teaching? Did you have any, I guess the outreach is a little bit of like teaching, but have you had any other teaching experience?
Not really. I I never taught students in university because our department is isolated from the main campus of university, and our department has no undergrad students.
Okay.
But they do get some of the summer interns from high schools or the undergrad who want to pursue some research, and they come to the laboratories and get some experience. So being a student or a senior student in a lab, I got opportunity to train those students who are incoming undergrads or high school students and help them understand the science that we are doing, help them learn one or two techniques. So that way, I got an opportunity to teach somebody hands-on experience on different techniques.
What did you think about teaching? Did you enjoy it?
Oh, yes, I do enjoy teaching. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's like sharing your own experience with somebody and help them achieve what you have achieved. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
And I think it is a good thing for me because I'm developing and acquiring some leadership skills. And that is one of the skills that you help others also to develop what you have developed and by sharing your experience. So I really enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's take a step away from research for a second. What are some of your non-science related hobbies that you enjoy when you're not in the lab, which is important to not be in the lab all the time, right?
Correct. Yes. So some of my hobbies right now is that I started reading some leadership books from past 1.5 years. I see I becoming a visionary person.
Okay.
And I have a vision for myself, and I see what things can be or the place can be turned into. So, and also my other hobbies including networking with different people, talking with different people, learning from them what they are doing, where the world is heading. Always I like to update myself with the new trends in the society outside of the lab. I also like my passion has my perspective has changed, and I become solution oriented than a problem oriented, and I have started responding to the situations than reacting to the situations.
Interesting.
And yeah, and also like here in Greensboro we had a workshop in 2019 about business workshop. So from UNC, I got an opportunity to get enrolled for 3 days, and it was weekend. So they're trying to really test you that on weekends, what you can do.
Yeah.
And that's why they intentionally started this workshop on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it was from Friday evening, 6 p.m. I still remember we were welcomed to the workshop, introduced to the workshop. It went till 10 p.m. or 9 p.m. And next, and we were like divided into the teams,
mm-hmm.
and we came up with the idea that we want to work on for next 2 days.
Cool.
And our group did fantastic, and our group won a first prize among other 3 to 4 groups in 2019. And that day, I think like, okay, now I have a better vision to make things better,
mm-hmm.
not start something from the scratch. But if I'm given an idea, I can make it better and build upon it.
Yeah.
And I pitch it on that day. So I got to know my pitching skills in front of investor. I got membership to the Chamber of Greensboro. Greensboro Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
But I never got a chance to visit them. But as I was logged in and, you know, you get emails from them. Recently, I went there for the workshop, which was the design and rethinking workshop.
Cool.
It was very interesting for 5 hours. I invested my mind into thinking about a creative solutions, thinking about how I can help others, thinking about, you know, how I can build a prototype that will benefit others.
Mm-hmm.
And little bit, when I talked to other people as a part of networking event, I got to know everyone was there doing something on their own as a business person or a freelancer. I got to know that mindset also. And I learned about business from this workshop. It really pushed my imagination. So outside of the lab, I always, you know, push my imagination, do networking, and always thinking like what I can do better than what I was before. So that's what I do.
Very cool. Do you like to cook?
Yes, I do. So if somebody asks me like what else you do, and I said like I do experiments in the lab, and at home I do experiments in the kitchen.
Aha.
I mix and match different stuff.
Very common. Yes. Yeah, I know a lot of chemists who are big on cooking because they like to, you know, do experiments and try things in the kitchen.
Yes.
Very nice. Well, Parth, I'm gonna go to my three wrap-up questions if that's cool with you.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, great. So you're still in it, but what is something challenging that you faced at any point during your PhD?
So I started my PhD in 2020, and the most challenging thing that I now realize when I look back is to discipline myself, prepare myself for the failure, and be consistent. Mm-hmm. Because PhD is all about not doing practicals, but actually doing experiment that might get failed. And that doesn't mean that one time you fail, next time you will succeed. You need to keep doing troubleshooting. You need to understand where you made a mistake or what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So that was difficult, though I knew it, but accepting the reality is a different than knowing the reality. So that thing.
And emotionally, right?
Emotionally, like, yes.
Emotionally failing over and over again can really take a toll.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, it was difficult to balance the professional life and personal life.
Mm-hmm.
Being patient as well. Because that's one of the key things that we need to be very patient while we are in science and doing a research. Because I work consistently every day. And then I found that time is passing very slow.
Uh-huh.
But when I procrastinate, time just fly.
Uh-huh.
So that's why those things I just notice in my journey so far that were difficult.
What do you think specifically patience, what do you think patience allows for science specifically?
So as a scientist, I think as a scientist, not as a PhD student, because I'm really working on a real life solutions. So patience is important because let's say I'm sleeping, but while I'm sleeping, if some ideas came to my mind, I cannot go and immediately apply them because I have something else going on.
Right.
So, my mind, once it starts thinking, generating ideas and up to the solution. So sometimes I wake up early morning, 3 a.m. and start thinking and building an idea. The next day, I go to my advisor and tell her that this is something exciting. Don't you think so? Then she helped me keep me on the track. Like, Parth,
right.
Don't forget, you have already taken one task and I want you to first finish it. Though this is a great idea, but write it somewhere. But you need to focus here. So that's why being patient is very important.
Because if you jump into that new idea, you may never finish the one you are working on.
Correct.
And you also may not have given the new idea enough time to really form.
Mm-hmm.
And it may actually be not a great idea once you think about it for a little bit longer, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
An idea, I personally think idea is just an idea unless you put it into the action. So if the ideas is just like a thought, that thousands of thoughts come to our mind, but we need to control that. So, and I always get excited. The new ideas always energize me, but I need to be patient and controlling my emotions. So that's what I also learned.
I always came back from conferences so energized because I had had a week's worth of conversations about collaborations and new ideas. And I came back exhausted, but also like excited to do all these things. And you just can't possibly do all of those things. So I had to learn how to kind of pick the best ones, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Cool. Great answers. So maybe related to challenges, but what advice would you give to 2020 Parth, who's just starting his PhD?
Yeah. If I'm starting in 2020, the one advice that I would give to myself is you need to finish this because you have taken a task. Nobody pushed you here. You are here because you decided to be here. So I'm not going to complain. Yes. I'm taking all on me.
Yeah.
That's the advice. Like, no matter what, if someone is watching me or not, I will do everything that is possible to finish my PhD without having expectations.
Gotcha.
Because it was my journey that I started. And that's why, like, when my professor quit, everyone asked, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to finish my PhD.
Yeah.
So that's
that was your task.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. That's a good point, actually, that, you know, in almost every case, I'm sure, you know, people are doing a PhD because they wanted to at some point. And therefore, it's kind of up to them to finish it. And not everyone does. And that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, that's one thing that I learned being in science, that when you collaborate with others, I appreciate that everyone is different.
Yeah.
And it is okay that no one is like me. But that doesn't mean that they are not efficient. Or and they are struggling with some task, it's okay, because PhD is a learning journey. It's not something that you already know and you are doing it. It is the journey that you need to go through and develop yourself. So
completely agree. Okay, last question. So to end on a fun note, do you have a good memory or story, conference trip or something from your program so far that you'd like to share?
Yes. So as I mentioned that in my department, which is nanoscience and nanoengineering department, a good memory is recently I was given an opportunity to evaluate undergraduate research symposium posters. And being a judge, it's a good thing to know some new stuff, and always that help you update with the recent trend that what people are researching about. But it also put me in a role of, you know, a non-biased person, that I need to think as an evaluator that, okay, I need to be neutral and evaluating on certain parameters. So I had to command my brain that, okay, you need to keep these parameters in mind while you are evaluating somebody as a judge. That was a great memory because I was looking for this opportunity as a scientist, because as I'm finishing up my PhD, I think that, yes, now I'm capable enough of evaluating somebody's S work. So that was a great opportunity. And the other memories that I have developed only during volunteering in different activities in university and department, I cherish those friendships, those good memories with the other volunteer who were there at the event. I developed great relationship and friendships with them. So, you know, I have expanded my network in a good way. And that's the good memories that I have with my during my this whole journey that I can carry with. And those relationships, I still talk to those people. I message sometimes and they got excited like, man, what are you doing? And
yeah,
it's always refreshing to talk to them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I ask this question a lot, and more than half of people answer something about, you know, people they met along the way, or lab mates, or, you know, friends they met at a conference. And there's just a lot of relationships that get built around a PhD, but also just around science and collaboration. And it's pretty cool.
Yes, absolutely.
It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Parth, that wraps up my questions. Is there anything else you'd like to touch on or share? Are you applying for jobs right now?
No, I'm looking at the positions because I like to be proactive. So I'm looking at the different positions. I'm looking at what are their requirements. If I'm missing a checkbox, I would like to fill that checkbox. But yeah, the real game will start from the next year, 24 January, yeah. Where I will be more of aggressive a little bit and consistently working on applying for jobs, looking for jobs. Currently, I'm in a writing phase of my papers, thesis.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And, you know, this journey, like I was talking to my advisor. When I started, I was excited, very much excited. Like, finally, I get into the PhD. I'm going to work on cancer. I'm going to eradicate cancer and come up with a great solution and everything. But now as I see that, the marathon is about to end. And I see that finishing line. I don't know. It's a mixed feelings. It's not exciting, but it's not nervousing also. But I don't know. So what I decided is, instead of just keep thinking and staying in that zone, I put actions. So I started putting actions. I started filling up my calendar, writing my task every day, what I want to do, and just keep focus on that instead of thinking about, man, really? I'm about to finish? I cannot believe it. Frankly speaking.
Right. So instead of looking too far ahead, you're focused on the task to get there.
Yes. Because I don't know, it's only happened to me or somebody else. I have no clue. But right now I know that what situation I am in, like not believing it. It's like a dream coming true, but still not believing. Unless I literally finish, submit, and finally awarded a doctorate degree. Till then, I will not believe it that I finished PhD.
Yeah. Wow. That's cool. That's great.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, I wish you luck in finishing up and you know, let's keep in touch. And thank you so much for your time and sharing all of your wisdom and coming on the show.
Yeah. And thank you so much for, you know, giving me a platform to share this experience, Katy. I highly appreciate this opportunity.
Thanks to Parth for coming on the show. If you or someone you know wants to be interviewed on Impact Factor, feel free to reach out by Instagram and follow us for updates at Impact Factor Pod. Thank you all for listening and have a great week.